Welcome to What the Nostalgia, the podcast where we go back and review movies from our formative years on up to our late teens. At the end of the podcast, we ask ourselves, were we looking at the content through rose-colored lens, or is it as nostalgic as before? We're your host, Jarrell.
And I'm Jamel.
And this is What the Nostalgia. Jamel, tell us what movie we got going on.
We have Independence Day going on today. This movie was released July 3rd, 1996. For the cast, we have Will Smith as Stephen Hiller. We have Bill Pullman as President Thomas Whitmore. We have Jeff Goldblum as David. We have Randy Quaid as Russell. Vivica Fox as Jasmine. Margaret Qualley as Constance. And we got Buckwheat from The Little Rascals. Now, the box office numbers, this movie was a big box office hit. I mean, as you can pretty much assume, it came out right in the midst of summertime. So it had a budget of over $75 million, and it made $817 million worldwide.
Okay. Yeah, it was a blockbuster of blockbusters. I will say that. I mean, this film hit, it was like a hurricane, man.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, you can understand why it's so big. And again, you know, I mean, it hit that summertime. I don't know exactly what day it came out, but, you know, obviously it's talking about July 4th and everything. You knew it was going to be, a big hit. They put a lot of money into this film as far as the effects and everything. Yeah. I'm surprised this isn't like the most expensive movie ever.
It's probably up there, or at least at one point I'm sure it was, because I don't have this fact right in front of me, but I do believe that it still holds like a big, like top 10 box office numbers. It's in that arena for sure.
Yeah. Had to. Talking about the budget, I feel like it's got to be up there.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Anyways, it was some time since I last seen this film. I don't know, man. It might have been some years, but I don't know. When's the last time you seen it?
It's been a minute. It was a minute for me as well, man. I really honestly feel like the last time I had saw this film was when I was younger. Like, probably in my early teen years. I feel like that's the last time I had seen this film. I really don't even remember seeing it on TV like that. You know what I'm saying? Over the years, maybe I just wasn't watching the channel that it came on, but it was a lot of times I don't remember seeing this on regular TV. So that might be the reason why I haven't seen it in so long, but yeah, it's been a minute. It's definitely been a minute for me as well.
Oh, this definitely was on TV. And you know they played it every damn anytime. As soon as June got June came close. Well, I won't just say around holidays. I mean, they ain't playing it for Christmas or anything, but I know what you're talking about though. But around that June, July time, you know they probably got a whole week dedicated to playing this movie on some channels. But like,
oh yeah, I'm sure.
Tell me,
sure.
Did you miss Independence Day? I can picture the joint down. Did you miss Independence Day yesterday? Well, don't worry. I mean, we're playing it 6 more times this week.
Right, right.
Anyways, though, we can go ahead and get into it, man.
Yeah, so for me, man, I gotta open up with a theory on this film, man. They open up this film with the apparent moon landing of the United States, you know, leaving our mark on the moon. Now, my theory on why they attack America or the Earth, I guess, in general, is the simple fact that us as Americans had the audacity to explore space and put our mark on the moon. You know, I feel like that was some disrespect to the aliens, and I really feel like that's what caused the attack. I'm sticking with that.
You say you're sticking with it. I didn't even get a chance to rebuttal.
you already know.
You got to give me a minute, man, to digest what you just said. Okay.
I told you. I know you, man.
Nah. Give me a moment. Okay. Firstly, so you feel like because we whatever year that was, what was that? 1960, early 60s, late 50s. I'm forgetting what year exactly, but you think that they said, you know what? They came to the moon and put their flag up there. We coming. So basically, hold on. This is America's fault.
like everything is, right?
Yeah. So America effed up and went to the moon. Some alien out his alien window saw that. Mm-hmm. Said, hold on. Is that American flag? Like, yep. You know what? We're going to destroy the world 40 years later, maybe 30 plus years later. They finally came in 96.
Yeah, it had been like a buildup of tension over all these years. They always flew by and saw that flag just waving. All these years, it's just perfectly still in the middle of the moon.
Wow.
Just flacking away, you know, and they thought by now it would have deteriorated. And they just got tired of seeing it flopping in the wind. They feel like they're the only ones that should be traveling through the galaxy, and they just found it a disrespect.
Wow. You just created a whole scenario now, bro, that I'm, like, really playing out in my mind. Like, do these space aliens have, like, I'm picturing it as like a town hall type situation. Like they came and was like, what are we going to do about this moon situation where these people are planting, you know, and they've been arguing on it. And it's like nothing was getting done. You know, whatever the alien ambassadors were or councilmen, nothing was getting done. And just for years, and the tension has been building up. But I picture like there was some rogue aliens that said, you know what? We tired of this. We finally gonna fix this thing, and they rose up over the you know over the aliens that were in power, took over and said, "We finally gonna destroy Earth."
Yep.
They killed all the
elders that were pretty much holding back this war that's been brewing for centuries. And they finally said, look, we're gonna knock these elders off so we can do what we got to do. Think of it like Transformers, man. You know, they finally got tired of, you know, the human species, man. And they're just brewing over for so long. And they finally got their opportunity. Came down to try to destroy Earth, man. Same thing.
Yeah, you know, I feel like the Transformers, though, they just went right ahead and straight went to go do it, like, straight way.
Nah. Do you know how long the Transformers was around before all that happened?
Yeah, but when did they get upset with humans? But how long was it between when they got upset with humans?
It took a minute. It took a minute, man.
Hey, that's an interesting theory. That's all I'm going to say for that. I mean, you just blew my mind with that one.
Yeah, man. You know, sometimes I try to find these little reasons as to why, man. You know, why would they want to come in and just destroy the whole world like that? You know, and usually it starts with America, like you said, man. You know, it's always we always doing something, man. Always poking our nose in somewhere it don't belong. So it's a perfect example. Perfect example right there.
So basically, we humans, we need to stick to Earth. We're confined to the Earth realm. Anything outside of that, don't you even think about crossing this atmosphere? I mean, into space.
I mean, it's a reason. Think of it like the ocean, right?
Uh-huh.
Like the ocean might be here, but us as humans, we can't live in the ocean. No, we'll die. So the aliens, the galaxy, that's their space. They can live there. They can breathe there. They can function there. You know, when they come to Earth, they got to wear the mask because they can't breathe our air. Same thing when we go up there, we can't breathe that air or we die. So that's all I'm saying.
Did these aliens have any type of mask on? What are you talking about?
Well,
and then for you
I
to compare it to the
traditionally, a lot of aliens that come to Earth, when you watch these alien films, they have on like those, you know, almost as if they have on space masks, you know, when they come to Earth.
Do they though? Cause I can't think of any. I don't.
Yeah. Just go with it. Just go with it.
Okay. Yeah. We'll just do that.
A couple examples, I guess. The first one would be, you know, one of my personal favorite alien films, with Rihanna in it. I can't even remember the name of it right now. Hopefully, we'll review it, you know, sooner or later. But those aliens came down with those masks on, and then I'm pretty sure in one of the Avengers movies, I could be wrong on this, they had some kind of extraterrestrial beings come down and they was wearing some kind of mask. So I was just going off those two examples.
The movie with Rihanna, you talking about the Battleship?
Yeah, Battleship. Yeah, Battleship. The aliens that you said suck.
Yeah, because they did. Don't remember them having no mask on either. Or maybe they had a little armor or whatever.
But yeah, they had a whole suit.
I do believe. I'm not gonna get into that.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it. That's the theory I got that pretty much set this film up, you know, to kind of put something in y'all mind to kind of think about. But moving forward, man, with any alien film, you know, you have a bunch of stuff going on, especially when they arrive, you know, finally. So it's a lot of dynamics, man, to an alien invasion. You know, you got a lot of perspectives. You got a lot of people. And one thing I feel like with alien invasion, it kind of grounds everybody and everything. Because at that point, when they land, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're welcoming them, if you're in fear, it doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, it doesn't matter how strong you are, how weak you are. We all on the same level at that point, you know, trying to figure things out. So I think in this movie, they kind of show that, you know, you got a lot of people scrambling around. You have a group of people, I guess, you could say activist type people that's pretty much like welcoming these aliens to Earth. Excited about their presence being there. So it's just a lot of dynamics, man. And I mean, I feel like this film kind of showed that in a way. I don't know how you feel if they expressed that in a positive way or if they did a good job at that.
They do have the different dynamic. Like you said, some people are welcoming and some people are feel fearful, of course. I think this is how you always got to look at it when you're going into these alien films like this. You got to take it. We got the added benefit of seeing all these alien movies and stuff like that and how people would react or, you know, that's in your mind. You got to view it like this is the first time this has ever happened. Like you almost got to take it like these movies don't exist. And people are literally just dealing with this for the first time. That's the way I picture Independence Day a little bit. Actually, no, never mind. I can't even say that. I was going to say like, yeah, they don't have no knowledge, but these movies did exist. They actually, in this movie, they watching a movie. I believe it was shoot, I'm about to forget the movie. The Day the Earth Stood Still. I don't know if you ever heard of that. I mean, they got a remake that was made with Keanu Reeves, but
yeah,
they got an old one though from back in like the 50s or whatever. And I guess this was a big film. And again, just how humanity would react, whether it's friend or foe, and that's a comparison. You know, they do that on purpose sometimes in these movies, man. They'll put something, they'll have somebody in a movie watching a movie and is really, you know, relating to what the same situation.
Right.
I forget who was watching it. I think it was the group. What was it? Miguel and his crew. Miguel and his brother and his sister. They're driving in this RV or whatever. wherever mm-hmm. they're at, and yeah, they're watching that movie. And I went to kind of watch that movie a little bit, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and you can kind of tell some of the same themes are in there. Well, like I said, it's like a friend or foe. People are wondering, like, dang, you know, what are these people here for? Are they here to kill us? Are they friendly? Personally, if aliens showed up, I've seen too much. Due to Independence Day, I would immediately be like, oh yeah, they about to blow this White House, the smithereens.
Yeah, just to look at that ship, man, is just intimidating in itself. That ship just screams that they're trying to do some damage, you know what I'm saying, when they set up shop.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way a rational person would think that a ship the size of that magnitude is coming to Earth with, like, good intentions on his hand.
Right.
Like, I'm going to immediately be like, yeah, we're done. You know, get prepared for it. But yeah, you got people in this movie again that are like, yeah, I'm going to the show. The aliens are here, or something
right,
like that.
Right. You make a good point with that, though, as far as like you saying you've seen too much, because how many, like, truthfully, off the top of your head, how many alien films, like, shows them in a positive, besides like E.T., what other alien film, I guess E.T. and if you want to count the Iron Giant, besides those two, it's not too many alien films that portray them as coming to Earth for peace, you know, a peaceful reason. So you make a pretty good point with that, man. Mostly when you see those aliens coming to Earth, they're trying to destroy something.
Well, yeah, you are right about that. It is pretty much E.T., but at the same time, that movie that I was talking about, The Day the Earth Stood Still, like, they were actually coming to save humanity from itself. You know, that's the other part of it, I believe, that I've seen in alien films sometimes, to have that where they're, like, trying to stop us from nuking ourselves to kingdom come or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's that part. And that was his mission, but, like, the dude gets shot, like, straight out the gate. I watched this movie, like, they cap him, like, right out the gate. He's coming for peace. But somebody said bumping. It just shot him. he made a full recovery, though. Don't worry. So,
I'm
yeah.
I'm going to have to get to that one of these days.
Yeah, you'll probably never watch it. Don't kid yourself.
Not the old one. I meant the new one. You know I ain't going back that
far. No doubt.
But yeah, so we have a pretty dynamic, I would say, group of characters in this film, for the most part. I mean, I guess that's another reason why it was so box office, because you had a lot of up and coming as well as already established stars in this film. But when it comes to the acting in this movie, I think it's a wide range there as well, because it's two acting extremes in this film, I feel like. You know, you got the terrible acting from a character, and then you have the, I guess you would say, over-the-top acting from a character in this as well. I think you had Miguel, who was the son of Russell. You know, to me, I know you speak about these So Bad It's Good films. It reminded me of The Room. You know, I don't know if the audience is familiar with that movie. I'm sure Jarrell is probably going to review that in some form sooner or later. But
you know,
but yeah, the way he was acting, man. I mean, it was like he didn't practice. Like, he just showed up and just had a piece of paper and was like, okay, I'm gonna go for it. And then you had I'm forgetting his name, but David's friend who he worked with, who was pretty much like the over the top actor, you know, and how he was pretty much giving his lines and how he was pretty much expressing his fear of the aliens showing up. So you had those two extremes as well in this film.
Yeah, I mean, besides them two, I want to say the acting was fine, but those two definitely stood out. Number one, like you said, the Miguel, I desperately was searching for a clip to pull of this dude's acting because it was so terrible. And I immediately know what you mean when you compare it to The Room, because it was along the level of a Tommy Wiseau, the way mm-hmm. the way he was delivering his lines, it was just downright terrible. The voice, I was like, wow. I was like, who let this get recorded? Who let this get filmed? I was like, y'all could have got anybody. I was like, this has to be somebody's nephew on the crew or something like that. Like,
it was like he was a last minute replacement or something.
Had to be. I mean, he was just is glaringly the worst actor in the film. But I wasn't able to pull a clip for him. But I was able to pull a clip for my nomination for the dial it back of the movie. Marty was his name. Marty, man, he was playing his character. I was like, yo, you got to dial it back just a little bit, man. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna play this clip just of him, man, needing to dial it back.
Signal hidden in the satellite feed is slowly recycling down to extinction.
Not really.
Countdown.
A countdown. We're gonna count down to what, David?
It's like in chess. First, you strategically position your pieces. Then, when the timing's right, you strike. See? They're positioning themselves all over the world, using this one signal to synchronize their efforts. In approximately 6 hours, the signal's gonna disappear and the countdown's gonna be over.
And then what?
Checkmate.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god, I gotta call my brother. I better call my housekeeper. I gotta call my lawyer. Forget my lawyer.
Yeah. That, hey. He was just doing a little too much for me, man. I couldn't.
I don't know
how you felt, but I said, come on, man. Like, you're doing...
He took it over the top, for sure. He definitely was.
I was like, hey, I understand you kind of want to, like, make yourself stand out just a little bit in a film. You got Will Smith, you got Jeff Goldblum, you know, you got some stars in this movie, man. But you could have dialed it back. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So also I gotta hit on one thing, man. This is a news flash alert in this film, man. This next point. So we spoke on Will Smith's character, who is Stephen Hiller, and he's dating a young woman by the name of Jasmine, who's played by Vivica Fox. Now, I found this interesting, man, this next point of this film, because he's in the Air Force, so he pretty much has to go to battle with these aliens, and he has to report for duty. And the whole time, she's pretty much kind of trying to hold him back, like, why would you go out there? Do you see this ship out there that's set up? You're going to die, blah, 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 all this other, you know, good stuff like that, right? So I found it interesting that later in the film, I don't know if you noticed this, but to me, this was the ultimate gotta make your money moment. It turns out she's a stripper and she's stripping within this whole alien invasion while it's going on. I just found that pretty much kind of contradicting, man, that she was trying to hold him back for reporting the duty and she's out there making her money doing her stripping thing, man, while this alien invasion is going on.
Yeah, I mean, that goes into the whole dynamic of the, you know, and the perspective that we were just talking about previously, like far as how some people thought of it. She definitely, from the beginning, was on the side of, hey, this is crazy. You know, she's talking to Will, like, and Will's on the other side, because I remember he said some line where he was like, I don't think they came 50 million, I don't know, light years from here to start a war or something like that. So he's not too worried. She's clearly worried, and she don't want him to go to work, which makes sense for him to have to go to work, you know, because he's in the military. But you go to work as a stripper? Like, that was crazy. Like,
yeah.
Like, how do you, and who's coming to the strip club? Who's
<Right.
laughs> I mean, this felt like it was a Tuesday There was, you know, I was just gonna pick a random date. It felt like it was a Tuesday. And it just was crazy. I mean, I don't know. I forget. Where are they even living? They in like L.A. or something? Or where are they? California?
It's gotta be somewhere around that area. Arizona, Nevada, something around those areas.
Anyhow, it was just like, why? I mean, it had to be a big city, I think, right? Because wasn't the ships like destroying all the big, the top cities? I mean,
it took place in a couple places. Now that I think about it, because you had, of course, they were around the White House, so that's Washington D.C. But yeah. I really don't feel like the whole movie was in Washington D.C. They had the desert scenes. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it was a different locations.
I know it was different locations. I'm just trying to think about where they lived. I know New York was doing their thing. Yeah. Like when she told her friend, like when Vivica had told her friend, I said Vivica, I forget the character's name, but when when she told her friend not to go on that building, like what building was she on? Like I felt like she was on an important building. I don't know.
It seemed a little all over the place.
But getting back to the point, it's just the fact that she went to work as a stripper and said, "Hey, gotta make that money. I gotta get this money." Like, how do you even strip with any type of focus?
She wasn't getting no tips either. Whoever was there was watching the TV, trying to keep up with the news.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows? Like, these people probably, if you come to a strip club while there's spaceships outside, you pretty much are saying to yourself, "Hey, F it." You know,
this is how I want to die. This
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Tell me, I'm right where I need to be.
But really, like truly think, and I think this is why it's so ridiculous, because truly think about this, the placement of it in the film. What was the purpose of even showing she's a stripper? Like, I know her character was there as Will Smith's love interest or his girlfriend or whatever, but it's not like we had to delve into her being a stripper. I feel like that was pretty random. Like, they could have showed her anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, you know
to
what?
To me, it didn't even fit, really. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I feel like what they were trying to do? They trying to show people from all so-called aspects of life. Because at one point, I believe she's with the first lady. Doesn't she, save the first lady or something?
They get stuck together. I can't remember exactly how they met up. But that pairing got stuck together.
They would make the sister the stripper of the two. But that's what they went with. They was like, "Hey, all right, let's put just, you know, oh wow, you know, you never would have thought that you would be shoulder to shoulder with the first lady, stripper." You know,
all walks of life.
Yeah. So I think that's what they were trying to do with that.
Maybe.
Could be.
Well, let's see, man. So, in these films as well, man, I mean, not just this one, but a lot of films in general, sometimes you have those, like, comparisons you can kind of see and pull from, you know, in different films. And I believe it was a pretty good amount in this film, man, to where you can take other movies and kind of, you know, draw from other films. Maybe it was inspiration. I don't know if it was purposeful, some of these comparisons. But I gotta ask you, man, did you see any comparisons throughout this film to other movies?
Yeah, man. Like I said, you know, I saw a few. I think I spoke on some already. I mean, just from the second one in the film, you kind of see that the spaceship hovering, you know, and you see the large scale of the mothership. And it, you know, it instantly reminds you of Star Wars and how that ship came about. I'm sure you know the name of that ship. I don't even remember. But, oh, you don't? Damn.
Man, it's with my mind. I'm a Star Wars fan, but you know, certain things it's a big world, man. It's a big world.
Just had to expose you real quick on how you're not a real Star Wars fan.
I knew what you was doing.
So you got that comparison. Like I said, I already mentioned the Earth Stood Still. That was the same thing. Again, whether, you know, people trying to figure out whether it was a friend or a foe. You got that. I'll go back to a movie that we already reviewed. The Iron Giant. I see a lot of similar things in that on how they dealt with some stuff. One thing for sure, Russell Case, we haven't really mentioned him, but he's like this drunk, bumbling fool who's like a crop duster or whatever. Just a drunk crop duster out here. And the town, I guess, kind of like, he's like the village idiot or whatever. Like, the town sees him as like a wacko. And, you know, he's claimed that he's seen aliens and blah, blah, blah. And he's in the diner scene and they're ragging on him. They talking about, him being being probed by these aliens and making all kinds of jokes. And when you go back to, the Iron Giant, there's similar themes. Like, people are kind of laughing at this one guy in this diner scene who's talking about he saw aliens and everything. Nothing good happens in a diner scene, man. That's all I'm going to say. Nothing good. You can't. I don't know. I just feel like it's in those small towns, it's perfectly set up for somebody to make fun of you for something that that you believe in. So you got that. And you also in the same movie, Iron Giant, you dealing with this internal struggle in the military or in the government to nuke. Like, both these movies, they're both going with that. Like, hey, man, we might need to do it. Like, we need to shoot this thing off. And obviously, you got the other side that's saying no. In this movie, I forget what the guy was, but he was one of the president's right hand men, I guess. He's proposing nuke. Jeff Goldblum, he's like, no, he don't want it. That's another part of it. I don't know if you noticed, but they made Jeff Goldblum's, like, a part of his character is he cares about the earth or whatever. Like, he's real sensitive to the earth. Like, he rides. He doesn't even drive cars. He rides his bike. He's recycling, all of that, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's something they gave his character. But so, yeah, he definitely is against nuking this stuff. But, and like I said, in the same way in Iron Giant, they got this internal battle within the government. I believe Kent Mansley is like, hey, nuke it. those are just some comparisons that I saw.
I can see that, especially, I mean, to me, you bring up the diner scene, that was a scary similar to the Iron Giant.
Very.
When you compare those scenes, man. So it's almost like, this was after Iron Giant, correct?
No, this was before Iron Giant.
It was before?
Yeah.
It's almost like Iron Giant got the idea or pulled something from that, because it is pretty close. I mean, but then again, you kind of, pointed to, like, most diner scenes. You'll probably see that in most diner scenes, that type of dynamic there. So, you know, it just could have been another diner scene, you know, that's out there floating around. So, but yeah, I definitely could see that comparison for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, now, that, you know, home. I always got to, I'm sorry, you know, I always, anything I see, man, I always feel like I can piece it or tie it to another scene from another movie from whatever period. That's just what I do, man. Yeah. I see something, I got to remark on it.
Nah, that's cool, man. It's always, that's one thing about these films, man. We always we draw inspiration, you know, through a lot of these films, so. I feel like that's something that we can always find here and there through these reviews. But since we're on comparisons, man, you know, it's an alien film. You know, we have to speak on other alien films, man. I mean, to compare this to other alien movies that's out there, you know, where would you rank these aliens, man? Like, as far as the looks, the intentions, the fear factor there. I mean, where would you hold this on your list? Because for me, I feel like I have at least three above this. Like, I mean, I would have to say, of course, the OG, you know, Alien film. You know, I feel like that's number one. Predator, to me, is a little more scary than these aliens. Probably has a little better look as well. And probably Prometheus, you know. I mean, I know that's kind of brought off or kind of pulled off from the Alien movie itself, but, you know, I got to put it up there just for that reason as well. So.
I mean, yeah, like you said, you know, Alien, obviously, the Alien movie from, you know, back in the day, that franchise, they kind of revolutionized the design, I think. These aliens, they didn't look bad. I felt like they looked pretty crazy. I wouldn't want to encounter a creature like that. That's the top level where I could say, oh, yeah, I definitely... Where I could put in my mind and be like, yo, if I seen that come down the street, you know what I'm saying? Might die of fear or something like that. So I got it pretty high. I think I got it over. I mean, you mentioned some of those other movies though. They more Alien and Predator, they're more featured. Like, these aliens weren't really featured that much. Mm-hmm. Like, what it was when Will punched when Will Smith punched it, and then I believe when it was in the lab. Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. They did have one. Okay, they had it on screen a little bit, but not really dealing with people too much. Like the other ones. But I still got it up there because they still look pretty crazy.
What about those mini ones though, man? I felt like that was real, like Men in Blackish, like the mini aliens.
What mini aliens?
I mean, they were a part of. I feel like they were a part of the alien. Like, the you don't remember seeing like the smaller aliens in the film?
No. When did this happen? What? Give me the scene.
It was when the president and all of them were at Area 51, I believe. And the dude, I guess, that was in the Secret Service, he had shot the alien a couple times. Maybe I'm tripping, but I felt like that was like a smaller alien he had shot.
Right, that's all the same. It's pretty much the same alien. Yeah, there was something that was inside. I mean, yeah, that part was dumb. Don't get me wrong. That was one of the dumber designs of it. I don't know why they did that. I'm gonna keep it real. Why they brought that little thing out of? like you said, it was like a Men in Black, and it was just unnecessary. Like, you already got this big creature. You don't need a mini alien working. Working this thing like it's a puppet or something, like it's a robot.
Right.
Yeah, that part was stupid. Okay, I'll give you that. But the alien, the outside alien exoskeleton, whatever, that one was, I felt like it looked pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta rank it down, man. I wasn't even gonna say this, but I'm gonna say it now. I mentioned it earlier, the battleship alien. I put those over these aliens, bro. Like, man.
I'm sorry. Anybody listening, go look up the aliens from Battleship. What was it? Battleship LA? I think it was called.
It was
just called Battleship. What I say? I must be thinking of mixing two movies. Yeah, Battleship. Go look up these silly ass aliens that he thinks. That he thinks, bro. I've already sent it, bro. I got it pulled up right now. I'm looking at it right now on the laptop.
You know why?
Why?
You know why though? Because they took a risk. I feel like they made the aliens different from, because when you look at the aliens from this film and you look at the actual alien from the Alien film, it's kind of similar. Like the design of it is kind of similar. So I like the fact that they gave a different take to these aliens. They made them almost more human-like in a way. You know what I'm saying? Even though they look far from humans, I'm just saying when you compare those in Battleship to the ones in Alien and Prometheus and Independence Day, it's a lot different, man. So I like the way they did that.
That's hilarious for you to say that. You're talking about they took a risk. Yeah, they took a risk and it failed. Like, look at...
to you?
Yeah, you could take a risk. Bruh, I'm looking at this thing, and I wish I had the words to describe. I wish I had the words to describe what the hell. His chin hair looks like porcupine needles. Like, it looks so dumb. Why does this alien have chin hair? It just looks like a mean human. Bruh, I'm sorry. There was no risk taken. It was just a dumb design. You talking about something? These look better. Bruh, these look idiotic.
No. Everybody, I urge you. Well, first off, I know everybody that listens to our show, y'all seen Battleship because it's just that type of movie. So I'm not worried about that. I know it was a popular film. So I know you guys know where I'm coming from with this. Those aliens are A1. You know, it's different. I like the design. The movie was good. The movie was better than this one. I mean, if I'm being completely honest. But that's a whole different subject for a whole different day. All right, so... maybe one day we'll do some comparisons for you guys. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's where it stands, man. This is probably like fourth or fifth on the list of alien films, man, as far as the alien itself.
Wow. I mean, I'm just, yeah. I'm confounded by the way that you actually think that those aliens look good in Battleship. I don't even want to go down that route with you, but those things look terrible. Terrible. Just, like I said, for anybody who has the time, just pull up Independence Day Aliens and then pull up Battleship Aliens and see how silly, how dumb this looks.
Side by side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that, you know, I mean, for the people to know, like I said, I'm pretty sure everybody's seen Battleship as well. So, you know, the people know. People know. But let's get back into the actual film, man. Towards the end of this film, you kind of spoke on Russell a little bit, his character, and you know, he had been through a lot. You know, he had been probed by aliens. Apparently, he had been probed by aliens. I mean, it wasn't really confirmed or denied. I mean, you know, nobody really confirmed it for sure. But I just felt like his story was sad, man, altogether, because not only was he seen, like you said earlier, as like the idiot of the town and the drunk of the town and all this other stuff, but it's like he ended up sacrificing himself at the end of the film. You know, he drove into the ship or whatever and blew up and, you know, sacrificed himself. I felt like, man, he didn't really get a fair shake, man. Like, at least y'all could have let him survive at the end, you know, after all he had went through and how he was looked on in the town, he was looked at the way he was. But, you know, I guess they tried to make him a hero, but I just didn't feel it. You know, I didn't feel that way.
You didn't feel... Oh, I mean... You know, they had an alternate ending of this movie. That I had watched, and I believe he's supposed to, I forget what happened. Damn, you know, I think he dies in that too. I think he goes out the same way, but in that alternate ending, he was in his crop duster. Oh yeah. The way that they had it, you know, the scene where whatever the military people, they looking for pilots and everything, just anybody.
Yeah.
In this alternate ending, like, he doesn't even get accepted. He doesn't even get accepted in. And he comes back, like, to save the day in his crop duster. And, you know, in that plane. And he has, like, a bomb taped to his crop duster.
Damn.
Yeah.
But he was sacrificing himself in that ending as well.
Yeah, he was sacrificing himself in that, but they changed it, and thank God they did, because that would have been stupid. And that crop and that crop duster probably wasn't making it to that.
Exactly.
To do what needed to be done. Yeah. So yeah, it was a better ending. But yeah, okay, you saying you don't feel like he was really a hero. I mean, I felt fine with that. I felt like he redeemed himself, because it's a moment you could tell, it's like he's feeling like he hadn't done anything in his life. Like, and he just needed that one moment. That to me, I mean, he was a hero, you know, in himself. I mean, I don't see how you don't see him as a hero in this movie. Like, every, you know, he literally saves the world basically by his actions. Like, there was nothing else that could be done. Everybody was out of bombs. I mean, it was pretty much a wrap for that.
Yeah, I mean, his actions, yeah, it makes him a hero, but I just felt like he still didn't get the respect he deserved. Like, even after he did it, it was kind of like they had like a scene with his son, and maybe this speaks to the bad acting of that character, Miguel, but the way that they kind of, you know, after he sacrifices himself and gets blown up, it was kind of like his son really didn't even care, that much. Like, the dude that was in the that was ahead of the what you call it, the military or whatever, was talking with his son like, you know, your dad did a good thing. It was just like, I don't know, I just felt like he still didn't get the respect he deserved. It was kind of like a one-off thing, like, oh yay, he did it.
I mean, you know, see, I'm gonna disagree with you on that, because how much time do you think the movie is gonna take? Do you think they about to do a whole parade now and say, hey, Russell, they took the time, they took a little time to, I mean, yeah, Miguel was terrible. He was a terrible actor, but they took a good 15, 20 seconds to grieve with the fact that he just gave his life up, and let Miguel think about how, you know, he didn't give him no respect. I'm sure that was hitting in his mind.
I don't know. To me, it just felt like, you know, which, and as a human, you know, you would kind of think this way in a way, but to me, it was more so like, well, I'm glad it was him, it wasn't us, you know, type of thing. That's kind of how I saw it, man.
You also got to think about this, bro. He literally just, like I said, saved at least that city for the time period, for the time being. I mean, all the other spaceships, I wonder how those other fights went for the other spaceships that had to be taken down. But still, it's just the fact that they gave him his due, I feel, man. They gave him his due. And again, whether or not you felt like they gave the respect afterwards, he redeemed himself by giving his life. That's all you need to know, is that he redeemed himself. Yeah. He knew that he hadn't really done anything. He was a terrible father to his children and everything. And you could tell that this is just that one moment where you say, okay, everything up until now is wiped away when I do this.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
So yeah. But the one thing that did bother me though about his sacrifice is the fact that they gave him two final lines. You're not supposed to get two final lines in a movie.
Maybe that's what took away from it for me as well. Maybe that was it.
Like, you know, he's made up in his mind that he's going to go ahead and do the suicide mission. And he's talking, and he's like, up yours, as he's going. And I'm thinking, okay, that's it. Like, all right, he's about to go ahead. Yeah, he's dead. And then you come back, and it's like, oh, he didn't do it yet. And that's when he, you know, has the other line. I forget what the other line was. Oh, that, hello, boys, I'm back.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. You can't have two lines, though, man. He should have been dead after that.
Right.
That was my only problem with the situation.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Yeah, that was a little much.
It's like they forgot to cut one of them out.
Right, right. Like they thought they didn't get the first one, so they had to add some extra in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he takes a part in helping to save the day. Of course, David and Steven work together as well to kind of, I think they were trying to implant like some kind of virus to take their shields down so they can then attack, you know, the aliens or whatever. And that's when Russell did his thing. So, you know, they all work together, man, in this film and get the job done at the end, you know. But yeah, man, I mean, I feel like this film was, for me, I mean, it had a good ending. I feel like it had a pretty good ending. And I like the way that they kind of group certain characters together, you know, to work together to get the job done. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for this one. I mean, they ended it with saving the day, which most of these films, you're going to see that. I can't wait till the day that I find a film where it doesn't end so well. But yeah. Oh, I did want to mention this though, before we get to the end, man. Did the president, you know, it might be hard for you to see now, but did the president give you like some Bruce Wayne type of vibes? I felt like the way he was talking, man, if you go back and watch this, notice how he's speaking like he's Batman or something like that. That was something I noticed throughout, bro. Like the way he was delivering his lines, the tone of his voice. I was calling him like President Bruce Wayne because I felt like he was giving off those vibes.
Talking about, I'm Batman. I understand what you're saying. He did deliver his lines a little bit a certain way, kind of like that. I can imagine what you said. If I was to go back, it would definitely fit.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, but yeah. So before we get into the rating and all that good stuff, I had a few fun facts I wanted to bring up about the film. The first one, the president's role was initially for Kevin Spacey, but the studio execs, they didn't see him as a big like target or as a big like star material at that time. I think that was before, if I'm not mistaken, his American Beauty role. I think that was what, like 99 or something like that?
Yeah, it was before.
Yeah, so they at that time, they didn't see him as star potential, which that Bill Pullman guy, it's not too much that I've seen him in. So I don't know about that. Maybe he had some roles I'm not familiar with. But yeah, so his the president role was initially for Kevin Spacey. So, and they went in a different direction for that. So let's see. And then the second thing, which I guess a part of me knew, but a part of me really didn't. I think this is why he's so touted, I guess, in certain spaces as a great actor. But a lot of Jeff Goldblum's dialogue was all impromptu. Like he was just kind of winging his dialogue here and there, which you can kind of see that though, in the way he acts and things like that. So I thought that was kind of interesting because I didn't really see him as that type of actor. I guess I didn't know, rather, that he was that type of actor that did that, kind of went that route with doing a lot of impromptu on his dialogue. Let's see. And then we have, as far as the Area 51 reference within this film, believe it or not, the U.S. military, at first, they agreed to support the film, and they were going to let them film at bases. But when they found out that they were going to have Area 51 references inside of this film, the military quickly withdrew their support from this film. But it's kind of crazy with how big of a hit this film was, and just the mere fact that they had Area 51 references in this that caused the military to back out, which is like already further suspicion for me as far as like what is in Area 51 if they had to do that for a film, you know. And lastly, believe it or not, is like I was just saying, as big as this film was, the script only took 4 weeks to write for this film. And this turned out to be, to this day, the 39th biggest box office hit ever. So it's got some good stats behind this film, man. And that's pretty much the fun facts that I have on this one.
Well, on that story tip, I mean, I'm not really that surprised that it only took that long to write. It's not like it's the biggest. This is a big film. You know, obviously it's like it's meant for the screen and everything. But it's not like it's the most complex story or something like that.
True,
it's just, true that. It's pretty much aliens come to Earth and attack us. You know what I'm saying?
True that.
So true that. I understand. That made sense to me.
Yep. But yeah, that's pretty much the fun facts for this one. Now, to get into the rating of this film, man, for me, I got to give it 3 rewind ratings. It was decent. You know, it's solid. It's, I guess you could call it a classic. I don't know if it falls in that territory as far as what it sold. It's definitely in the realm of a classic. But yeah, man, 3 stars. I just feel like it's other alien films better than this one. And I feel like it's a little too long for it to not be, like you just brought up, complex like that, for it to be over 2 hours. And, you know, feel like it, the length of the film probably is what took the rating down for me. So that's my rating, 3 stars.
Okay. It was a pretty long film. Yeah, I mean, some stuff could have been cut down. Like I said, you know, cut out a piece of my man. Final speech, you know, Russell Case. yeah. No, they could have cut out way more than that, obviously. But it was long. But I'm going to say this was still an enjoyable film. Like the action, the effects in this thing, I feel like it was top notch. And when I think mm-hmm. about like these world destruction movies, I'm about to just put it in the whole. In a whole category genre, I'm taking it out of alien invasion. I'm saying world destruction. This was top notch to me. The destruction that was happening in this film, the effects of it. So I'm going. You know, I thought that was good. I thought this was a real huge scale. The spaceships looked good. I mean, it was a real, you know, that tone of just these ships invading the Earth like that. I liked it. Will Smith, he's a star. Come on. Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum together. That was a pretty good little team up. And I'm going to extend the rating, man. I know I got on you, I think, some episodes back about your crazy rating one time. You tried to give like a 3.72 or something. But
that's right.
I'm extending the rating. I'm not going to say no silly ass number like that. But I'm going to go 3.75, man. Hey, we got to extend this thing because some of these movies, you know, we're doing enough now, man, to where we got to, you know, extend it a little bit, you know. Cause,
yeah, it's definitely some separation in some of these films.
Exactly. So I'm going 3.75 rewinds, man. I'll still rewatch it. You know, like I said, maybe not the whole thing because it is just too damn long, but it is still a rewatchable movie, man. It's huge.
Now what do you rank this among? I know you said destruction films, but if you had to put it in the alien category, do you have many alien films over this, or is this at the top?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, Alien is up there, and Predator is up there too. Those are your top notch. But I got Independence Day up there. I just feel like it's the king of the invasion movies. I'll keep breaking stuff down into different genres now, but I feel like, it's the king of that. Like when I think of an invasion, you know, that other stuff, Alien, that happened in space. Predator was on the Earth, but. Like I said,
it was just him for the most part, I think. Like, it wasn't a bunch of predators. It was just that one.
And it was, yeah, and it was the type of alien that they were. Like I said, these are like, you know, expert hunters, and it's like they hunting for game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But this, like I said, just the invasion part of it is top notch to me as far as Independence Day. So that's where I rank it. It's.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, that's respectable. So we got a 3 rewind and we got a 3.75 for this film, man. So I would say this one held up overall, you know, between the two of us. I would say it held up. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for this one. We thank y'all for tuning in, man. What do we have for the next film we're doing, man?
Yeah, man, we're going from the sci-fi and we heading over to how do you describe Ali? Could you describe Ali as a choreographed sports film?
Nah, I wouldn't put it in that category. Nah.
You know that's my, you know, I hate that genre. But nah. It's the biopic. It's a biopic of Ali. Yeah. We're going to that. So you know, gear up, put your gloves on, keep your chin up. That's our next movie.
All right.
So we thank y'all for listening again, and we're gonna leave y'all with the trailer. Peace.
Say your name is?
Bundini. Rhymes
with Houdini, yeah, except that don't rhyme.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
They're coming after you. You're important.
They don't want you to fight.
Federal Bureau of Investigation. Mr. Clay, you're under arrest.
Oh, so they're gonna take from me what no fight in the world can.
We cannot let you oppose them.
They bust you out.
You don't remember your name.
God don't care about you!
Do you think they give a damn if you get killed?
So what? So what? I ain't got to be what nobody else want me to be, and I ain't afraid to be what I want to be.
The champ is here!
You can go to Alabama, you can go to Sweden, everybody knows that I am the champ. All the ladies out there, they know.
Let's tell it like it is.
We're going from the darkness to the light.
You want to send me to jail? Fine, you go right ahead.
That boy even dreamed he whooped me, he better wake up and apologize.
Come on down.
You lucky he holding me back, man. You lucky he holding me back.
Supposed to be the myth of Muhammad was gonna fall. Supposed to be my destruction.
All right, now listen, I'm gonna hit your hands 6 times before you get the 3. You ready? Go.
1, 2, 3.
Did I hurt you?